2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll continue our thoughts about the gift of the Spirit. I just thought it appropriate to bring some maybe lesser points, but they're not lesser points. They're the Word of God pertaining to the gifts of the Spirit for you folks here on Wednesday night. This little epistle was Paul's last. It is believed that he died in 67 A.D. That was his date, the date of his martyrdom. And this is just before that. He's expecting at any time that he'll be executed. It's near the end of Emperor Nero, the fifth emperor, I guess, of Rome. And Paul's writing from prison. He'd been in prison before under house arrest, you recall. Had a lot of freedom. It was because of accusations of the Jews that he was in Rome in prison first. And so they gave him a lot of liberty. He could see people and have people in his home there in Rome and minister. This is different. This time he's locked up. He's in a cold cell, probably in stocks. He's bound by chains. No liberty. In the first imprisonment, there were a lot of people who came and went. He had a lot of friends. In this imprisonment, nobody's coming to Rome because Nero's on the warpath and they don't want to get in trouble by befriending a capital criminal. And so they're staying away. The only person that's having anything to do with Paul is Luke, faithful Dr. Luke, his physician. And so Paul's heart is wide open. This is a very personable book to his son in the faith, Timothy. It is believed by some that perhaps Paul was concerned about Timothy growing weak spiritually. Maybe he was showing some signs of being weary and well-doing or something. And that's the case because there seems to be some evidence of that in this epistle. This epistle is a letter, this letter to Timothy, who had been so close to Paul for so long. Look at verse 6 and you'll see maybe some of the evidences. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Well, he needed stirring up, Paul thought. So some people believe maybe things were changing for Timothy a little bit. Verse 7, which is our text for tonight. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear," he says in verse 7. See it? Perhaps Timothy was frightened somewhat. You'll hear what that means in a few minutes. Verse 8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." Paul referred to himself as the Lord's prisoner, because everything that happened to him, he knew was orchestrated by the Lord. God was his master, and whatever happened was okay. But Timothy must have had some pretty strong feelings, and Paul has to address those here in this little epistle. So we understand how that may have been on Paul's mind just from the things he says. Now, verses 1 to 5, leading up to those verses we just looked briefly at, is the record of Paul's personal remembrance of Timothy. Timothy was won to the Lord by the Apostle Paul. Timothy's mother and his grandmother are named here, and they were both women of faith. They had a strong faith, and they were responsible, at least in part, for raising Timothy that way. And Paul believed that Timothy, as well as his mother and grandmother, were gifted, and they exercised their faith. They were men and women of faith, or he was a man and they were women of faith, and reminded him here to stir up his gift, because he knew he had the goods, he had the stuff. He was sincere. Timothy had been a real companion to the Apostle Paul. And now Paul, in a sense, is going to pass the mantle over to Timothy because he knows he's not getting out of prison. And Timothy, he wants him to carry on. So Paul had been convinced of Timothy's giftedness, but here he tells him to stir up that giftedness. And if he does, it will be evidenced by certain things. Verse 7. Okay? Evidences of the gift stirred up. That's my message tonight. Evidences of the gift stirred up. So these things are things that you and I want to see in our lives. If we're exercising our gifts, if we discover them, if you discover what your gift is and you walk close to the Lord and you're exercising your gift, we'll see these things in your ministry. Verse 7, again, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So first we see what it's not evidenced by. If you're gifted and really on fire for the Lord, your gift is not evidenced by what? Verse 7.
Fear.
By fear. There's not fear there. Now, this is not the normal word for fear. Fear like being terrified of something. That would be phobia. Phobio, actually, in the Greek. It's not that kind of being afraid. This word for fear, delilia, is used only here, only one time in the New Testament. And it means to be timid, to be sort of cowardice, to withdraw, to be timid about something. As if you were trying to spare yourself embarrassment or perhaps hurt. So that kind of fear. Not the terror like in the other word, but this is more timid. And Paul says that you shouldn't be timid. Look at verse 7 again. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of, can I say, timidity. We're not supposed to be timid, cowardly. Timothy, you can't be that way, he's telling him. Why might Timothy have been timid? Tempted to be timid or somewhat withdrawn or cowardly? Well, his mentor, who is the Apostle Paul himself, was about to become a martyr at Rome, and he knew it. Timothy knew it. Timothy was in Ephesus. He was a liaison. He was kind of a go-between between Paul and the people of Ephesus. Some people say, well, he was their pastor, but he was more than that. He was sort of the pastor's pastor of Ephesus. And he was being rejected. His ministry, his teaching was being rejected at Ephesus. We know that. And the people were rather bold. They had a very vocal opposition to what Timothy was trying to teach them there at Ephesus. And false teachers abounded. They were networked, these false teachers. They were very sophisticated in their approach. And so Timothy was really up against it. He was living with a lot of hardship, a lot of stress there in Ephesus. And Paul tells him, Timothy, don't be timid. Don't be timid about exercising your spiritual gift. Stir it up, Timothy. So that's the context of it here. Now, let me see if I can get us on that plane. Do you ever have feelings like you suppose after this that Timothy was having? I was thinking, well, we'll use a young person in school. The teacher says, well, is there anybody here who doesn't believe in the theory of evolution? And there's this one Christian young man sitting in the back, near the back, and there are several taller people in front, and he's a Christian and he wants to say, but he really just doesn't want to be called upon to speak out right now for his faith. And so he lifts his hand kind of half-heartedly and keeps his hand behind the person in front of him so the teacher can't see it. Why? Timid? A little bit embarrassed? I don't want to be called on the carpet. I don't want to have to speak for my faith right now. Lord, not now. Have you ever had that feeling? Probably we all have. We've all been in situations where we kept our mouth shut because, well, we didn't want to have to defend our faith. Simple as that, right? Simple as that. We just didn't want to have to talk about it right now. That's the timid. We can't be that way, brothers and sisters. If we're going to exercise our spiritual gift, we can't be timid. There can't be a time when we say, no, I won't speak for the Lord. When we're ashamed or embarrassed, because we're the only one there that feels the way we do. That's exactly what Timothy perhaps, that's the idea behind this word. Don't beat that way. If you can relate to what I'm saying, if you felt those feelings, then like Timothy, you probably need to stir up the gift that's in you. We need what Paul's about to give him in the latter part of this verse 7. If it's not fear that is evidence of our exercising our spiritual gift properly, then what is it? Well, how about this next word, power? The word for power is dunamis. What does that sound like?
Dynamite.
And it's where our word dynamite comes from. The word dunamis means power, and so it's translated here. We're supposed to be, our exercising our gift is supposed to be evidenced by power. Power. The word almost always used in the scripture is talking about miraculous power. The power of God to do things that are just unusual. Like when Moses parted the Red Sea, that was power. And when Joshua and the children of Israel walked around Jericho, and then the last time, you know, they shouted and the walls came down. Or like David, when he, the little shepherd boy, went out against the mighty warrior Goliath, a giant of a man, and God brought him down. And like when Jesus broke those loaves and few fish there on the side of Galilee and fed 5,000 and then 4,000 later. Or like the power that was required when he said, "Lazarus, come forth." I'm glad he said Lazarus, because all of the dead people would have come out if he hadn't said that, right? If he had just said, "Come forth." He said, "Lazarus," and the power to raise the dead. How about the power to raise the Lord Jesus Christ himself? This is the power we're talking about. But I don't believe that Paul is necessarily referring to Timothy working miracles. You see, it seems more likely that he's using this same terminology, but referring to the powerful inner strength of a man. As we'll see, he's talking about the inner strength, the strength to say no, the strength to not be timid, the strength to function when things are going wrong, the strength to believe through the most devastating of trials, the strength, if need be, to die for the cause of Christ. Paul's praying for that divine, miraculous power for Timothy, and that in the exercising of his gift, people will see the power of God. Now, brothers and sisters, it's not just for Timothy. God does not want us to be ashamed and timid and withdrawn. He wants us to speak out. Now, you'll have to be you. Everybody doesn't say it the same way. Everybody doesn't speak. Some people are a little more nervous when they talk, especially in public. But we need to speak, right? This power should show in our own lives. It was this power that Paul wanted when he wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You remember that? Paul wanted to know him in this power. It's this power that God makes available to you and to me to exercise our spiritual gifts in these last days. We just had the electrical service changed at the parsonage just yesterday. And for a while, the lights were off. All the wires were in place. All the plugs were in the wall. All the light switches were in place. Everything was right. But until just the right time, we were not connected. You had to throw the switch and connect. I used the illustration to say this: the power of God is available to those who connect with him. You have to walk with the Lord. We can't expect the power of God upon our life if we're not connected, if there's not that close fellowship. And we've been talking about that, haven't we? Just drawing near to the Lord and being more alive to the Lord and dead to ourselves and the things of the world, to transform our minds to present our bodies a living, bloody sacrifice to Him, dead to ourselves and alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to have this power, it'll be because we're connected, because we're close to Him. I don't know if you're serious about this or not. I am. I want to be close to the Lord. And I found that I need to lay aside some time. Mine's in the morning. I need to spend some time with the Lord. Are you spending some time with the Lord? You'll never get close to the Lord if you never spend some time with Him. Get in the Word of God and absorb the Word of God and let it be like your necessary food. And spend time in prayer and talk to the Lord and listen to the Spirit of God as He communicates with you through the Word of God. Put the sins out of your life, anything that's distracting. If your life's so full, if your cup's overflowing now with your stuff, you're going to have to dump it out and let the Lord have the space that He's purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus. People say, well, I'm just too busy to do that. People are too busy to come to church. They're too busy to have devotions with their family. Too busy to do things with their children. Well, if you're too busy to do the Lord's things, then you're too busy. We need to stop. We need to give Him preeminence. You say, well, I don't know how I can do. I don't know how you can either. But I'll guarantee you this. If you ask Him, He'll tell you how you can do it. You can have time for our Lord. And if we connect, we'll have that power upon our life. What's the next word? Verse 7. Not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. The word is agape, the love that we've talked about before. Listen to these verses. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We love the Lord God first. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And all the law, every obligation we have on a horizontal plane, it's fulfilled if we'll just love. It'll fall right in place. It will happen if we'll just love. And you remember our study through 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffereth long. It's patient. And it's kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Which of these characteristics of love sort of seem to fit into the context of this love here in verse 7? I was trying to pick some. Endureth all things, suffereth all things. But I can't leave any of them out. All of the characteristics of love fit into this love of 2 Timothy 1:7, don't they? If we are going to exercise our spiritual gift, if you're really going to be used by the Lord, you're going to have to get in touch with Him. You're going to have to be close to Him, connected. And then you need to have the motivation of this agape love that is mentioned here. 12 times in the New Testament, God reminds us to love one another. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 John 4:7. There's 11 other times He tells us to love each other. I want to remind you that love is a choice. You can do this. You don't have to have any feelings. You can be angry with somebody and still do this. You have to deal with that anger and make it righteous indignation, but you love them. What does it mean to purpose their good? No matter what. We were not lovely when Christ loved us, right? When God looked down and He said, I'm going to save those sinners, we would spit in His face if we were close enough. But He loved us, and we can love like that. And when we're exercising our spiritual gift, we'll love like that. We'll love like the Lord loves. Not an emotion, but a choice. To purpose the good of another ahead of our own. We have to love, we have to have love for the Lord, right? More than life. Do you love the Lord more than life? It's easy for me to relate to my love to others. We need to love like God loves us. Boy, that's making my toes black and blue. Love like God loves us. We ought to love with that kind of love. How much did He love us? Well, He gave His Son for our sins. To take the life away from your Son for your enemy. That's how much God loved us. You see, it couldn't be an emotion, could it? Because we're not even lovely. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son for His enemies. But we all have a lot to do here, don't we? But the person who stirred up that gift within them, their gift will be evidence. The outworking of what God is doing in their life, there'll be power there. God will accomplish things. They'll be doing things that just don't seem normal. They'll love one another. They'll love people who are not even lovely. It's agape love that drives away all fear and replaces it with a holy boldness. You remember, Timothy's not supposed to be timid. Don't be afraid. God's not given us the spirit of fear. If we love one another, it drives away the fear. As a matter of fact, 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect fear, perfect love casteth out fear. Let me illustrate that. I had two sons. I still have two sons. But I remember when they were little, 4 or 5 years old. If they were in danger, I was not afraid of anything. Can you relate to that, you men? There was nothing I would be afraid of. Because my love would drive away the fear. My love for them was so much greater than any fear, any timidity. You start messing with my boys, and I'll speak up. Right? We need to love our Lord, and we need to love those individuals enough to where we'll speak up. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out our fear. 1 John 4:18. What's the last thing? Verse 7. A sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word sound mind, or the words sound mind, are used only here in the Bible. It's the only place you'll find this Greek word. It means self-control or self-mastery. It means not to be wishy-washy, not caught off guard. This frame of mind will allow a person to exercise sober, godly judgment in every situation. It's by the power of the Spirit of God within us that we would be able to have this sound mind. Like the disciples, do you remember when Jesus told His disciples, I'm going to send you out like sheep before wolves? Do you remember that? Over in Matthew chapter 10. Listen to what He says there. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. You'll have a sound mind. It's the work of the Spirit. All of these are the work of the Spirit. It's that divine power at work within us. People notice it. We're not afraid. We've got that power. There's love. We love people. We reach out to people even when they're not lovely. That's not natural. It's not natural to love your enemies, but we can reach out to people who despise us for what we are. And we can speak to them. All of it, the work of the Holy Spirit. Power, love, and a sound mind. And we can go before this lost and dying world, exercising our gift, and they'll marvel like they did on the day of Pentecost. You say, well, could it be that way at Corinth Baptist Church? Brothers and sisters, we need to understand and believe it can be that way here. God can do miraculous things with us. What's the key? Draw near. Draw near to the Lord. Pray exceedingly that God would reveal to you what He wants you to do, and then trust Him for the ability and the strength and the opportunity to do it with power, with love, and with a sound mind. All the work of the Spirit of God within us. The proper use of our gifts is evidenced not by fear, cowardice, timidity, quiet and still because of the opposition, but power, miraculous inner strength to perform the work of God, the ability to be bold and vocal for the cause of Christ, of power and of love. This love will cause us to withhold no effort, to bar no expense in doing what's right before God and what's best for our fellow man. In spite of adversaries, in spite of the fearful circumstances. And then sound mind involves a biblical balance and judgment and the ability to act soberly in accordance with God's word. Never caught off guard so as to act harshly or without thought. And again, all of it made possible by the Holy Spirit. And where can we get in touch with Him? Right here. In your heart. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. I keep harping the same things, don't I? That's what we need. That's where we need to be right now. Where will it start? With the Wednesday night crowd. With you folks. If we could be what Paul's asking Timothy to be, we would be like Paul himself, who had to boldly face death like a man who had cause worthy for living and worthy for dying. We would be like Timothy, who had boldly preached the gospel among the people that did not want to hear him, and who would be angered by its effect upon their lives or upon their families' lives. We're living in a trying time. The world's changed a lot in my lifetime. And the rate of change has picked up so much. Changes so quickly now. People are different than they used to be. And there are a lot of unanswered questions about life. And we have an uncertain future, humanly speaking. Who knows what's going to happen? Well, we do in the big picture, but we don't in the human sense of the words. It would be easy right now. It would be easy right now to go to Whitney's or to the auto parts place or down to Bangor, to one of the places where you work or where you go, and to be timid nowadays. To be sort of fearful and not wanting the opposition, not wanting the confrontation, the conflict. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All of it the work of the Spirit. Draw near. Draw near. God will make something of us in 2017. It'll take decisions on our part. You can't just hear it and walk out the door and forget about it. We're going to have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I pray that the Lord will help us with that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight and the opportunity to share these truths. I pray that you would bless them, Lord, to our lives and to our hearts. Father, how rich this one verse is. May this study tonight just be a springboard. And may our thoughts, Lord, linger here for a while. Lord, help us not to be timid, bashful. Help us to exercise our gift and be bold for the cause of Christ. May those around see the power of God upon our life May they experience a love that they can't explain. And Father, may we answer the critic. May we answer the enemy, Lord, with a sound mind, with biblical-based answers, with a cool composure. Father, help us that we might guard our emotions and be all that we can be. Use us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.